Good morning. All right, there we are. Okay. Hey, it's good to be with you this morning. Pastor Kirk is at Cleft of the Rock Church preaching this morning, and it gives credence to like, hey, we're one church. Amen? And so, man, what a blessing. So Chris said it. Right, I'm going to preach for a little bit. I'm going to preach shorter, so some of y'all are like, hang with me. And then we're going to do something a little different. So when I asked Kirk if we could do this, he's like, sure, I'm not going to be there. So help me out. It goes well. And he goes, oh, how'd it go? Well, it was great. So this morning, we're going to dive right in. My name is Brian Hannes. I'm the Connecting Pastor. I'm excited to be here with you this morning. We're going to continue our Jesus and We series. And this message has been bubbling up in me for a while. And I'm really excited about the opportunity to share with you what God has for us together. So Jesus and We. Kirk's been talking about how Jesus includes us in the New Testament with miracles, with ministry. And we get to be a part. We, us, his family, his people. But today we're going to look at a passage out of the Old Testament, which speaks to the very same thing. Okay, so if you have your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. But as you're doing that, the Bible, God, right from the very start, chose a people, called us into relationship, said, these are my people. I'm going to give them my ways. I'm going to give them my precepts. I'm going to give them the way of living. I'm going to empower them so they're different, so that they proclaim and represent me to the whole world. And they'll know, wow, those are God's people. They're different. The holiness of God, the love of God, the power of God. And then that's how people are going to know. And I'm going to pass it on through one generation to the next, through families and being a part of a community. You're going to be joined together in this. So that's how God has said it. And I want to preempt this with this. Jesus has also given us the very same strategy in the New Testament with discipleship. And so this morning, though we're talking about the context of family and parenting, passing on is the key. And how do we pass on the ways of God, the love of God, the power of God? We do it through connected relationships in the family and in discipleship. Okay, so listen with that ear in mind. Okay, so look at chapter 6 in Deuteronomy. And the whole book, let me just set the scene for you. The whole book could probably be summarized in this. Listen, obey, remember, and pass on. Okay? The Israelites have had all these miracles happen, and the Red Sea got parted, and they got freed from the Egyptians from slavery, and they wandered the desert for 40 years, and now they're encamped at the Jordan River, about to go in the promised land. But before they go in, Moses gathers them together, and he's like looking at them eyeball to eyeball, and he goes, hey, we got to get some things right before we go in. This is a new season. I'm calling you. Like, these folks were little, right? They were kids when they wandered the desert. Well, they're adults now. He goes, I'm about to do something new. And you're going to go into this promised land, and I want us to get some things straight. So the whole book is, listen. You know, like with your kids, when they're not, you're like, listen. And I want you to obey me. There's going to be blessings if you obey. And I want you to remember. Don't forget. And I want you to pass it on. Okay? So let's look at it together. We're going to jump right in. This is good, good stuff here, okay? These are the commands. This is verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So here's Moses again. He's looking at the people, the we, and he's looking at them going, hey, we got to observe them. We got to obey them. We got to do them. God has already spoken. He's already given us his word, his instructions. Right? Let me just give you an example of sometimes how I don't listen. I'll say it that way. Okay? When Katie was little, my oldest, we one Christmas we had this plastic car, and you know the drill where you have to put it together the night before? Somebody nod at me. Thank you, Dad. Okay, so I get the car, I get this instruction book. Man, it is big. I'm not kidding. Like, it's a big instruction book, and I'm like, it's the night before. So I did what every good, respecting dad would do. Just pitch that thing. I don't need it. I'm good. I got this. I'll take care of it. And so I put the car together. And then when I'm done, I got a lot of parts left over. Y'all, somebody nod again. Okay, good. I'm not like a couple. I got like a whole axle rod and extra, you know, bolts and nuts. It's okay. Well, let's see what happens. So Katie, no sooner she gets on that car, the back wheel's like, go, 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 go. I mean, it is not working good. Okay, and so I'm laughing at the simple fact that I just didn't pay attention to the directions. All I had to do was read the directions. It wasn't that complicated, but I didn't do it. And because I didn't do it, because I didn't read the instructions, I didn't know what I was doing. I got mad. Debbie tried to come help me, and I'm like, "Get away! You don't understand. You know, this is a dad thing. I got it. You know, dumb, just not smart, right?" And I got frustrated, and then I was kind of feeling so bad for my daughter who has this toy that doesn't work right because of me, because I didn't follow the directions. And I just laugh, right? We laugh at the simplicity of that and the reality of how God has given us his instructions. He's given us his word. It's right in front of us. And this is what Moses is saying. But he sends Jesus to come to earth as a man and God to reveal who he is. He sent his Holy Spirit to be in us to continually teach us and guide us. Come on, he's so good. But at this particular place right now, about to go in the promised land, he's like, "I want you to understand why to observe him." Let's look at verse 2. "So that you, your children, and their children." There's three generations, guys. There are implications for your and I's willingness to listen and obey. Not only for me, but for my children and the next generation. And he says, "To fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all my decrees and commandments." See, fear of the Lord is demonstrated through my obedience. Like when I hear and obey, I'm demonstrating, oh, wow, there is a healthy fear of the Lord. Let me just say, like in the church, sometimes the fear of the Lord sort of gets dismissed for some reason. I don't understand why. There is a healthy reverence, awe, and respect of this wonderful Almighty God. Amen? And we need to teach that. The Bible says we need to teach that to our kids. There's a healthy fear of the Lord through obedience. And Jesus says the same thing in the New Testament. Hey, you love me, obey me. Fear of the Lord, love of the Lord, obedience. And he says, not only that's why it's good, but look at the last part of that. "So that you may enjoy long life." He's like, "I got your back. I got your best." A long, prosperous, purpose-filled, significant life if you listen, obey, remember, and pass on. Okay, let's dig in. This is good stuff right here. This is the meat right here, okay? Verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your. Okay, this is good right here, y'all. Seriously. That word "hear" is the Hebrew word shema. Now, this is pay attention for a minute. It's the name of the word. Like when we say "hear," we're like, "Oh, that's good. I heard that noise," or "I hear it." Like, "Oh, that's great." In the Jewish understanding, this word represented way more. It was like, listen, take in, let it sink in deeply, and so that you respond. Like there's like hearing and obeying was one word, shema. So much so that the Jews, even now, they call this passage the shema, and they repeat it in the morning and in the evening to declare their commitment, their devotion, their heart for God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And it's that critical, and they pass that on. This understanding is different for us because in our Western understanding, we go, "I might hear something, but then I choose to not obey it." That would be totally foreign to the Jewish understanding. They're like, no, you can't do that. That's not how it works. If you hear it, then you obey it. If you really get it, then you follow it and you do it. And this understanding is critical to this passage and what Moses is trying to display and reveal to these people. So he says, hear, like, listen, take in. We're going to obey this deal. There's some things that are going to follow that are so critical. But he could have said anything, right? He says, "The Lord our God." Well, first of all, Israel, there's the "we," Jesus and "we." "The Lord our God." Okay, this is the family of God, the covenant family of God that he's rescued and freed. And he says, The Lord is one. This is the Father, Son, and Spirit. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God that did all those miracles and all those wonders and has set us free. And now we're his. And now he's going to walk us into the promised land. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. All means all. Everything that's in you. This is the seat of your of life is the heart, the inner man, the person inside that says that everything in there's nothing to be hidden or keep from the Lord. With all your soul, with all your mind, your will, your emotions, that is who you are as a person, unique to you. Love him with everything you've got within you. Again, he could have said anything. And then love him with all your strength that flows outward from the change on the inside, the power of the Holy Spirit, changing a person on the inside. This is miraculous. Only God can do this. And then it flows out into my words and my actions. And people see and hear, oh, that's one of God's kids. This is really important for us to understand. He says the next verse, these commands I give you are to be on your hearts. The next one says impress them on your kids, but let's make sure we get the order right here first. They got to be in us before they get in our kids or anyone else we might have impact to. These commands got to be in your hearts. They got to be in you. They got to be not just words on a page. They got to be something that I shema. They got to be something. They got to be my life. They got to be what I hear and obey. And then I impress them on my kids. And how about that verb, impress? Come on, impress them. Don't just like, oh, here's a nice story or here's a nice study. No, impress them on your kids. Not only do I have to model that, impress is like remind, repeat, every opportunity to get it into their hearts. Because you're after their hearts, parents. That's the deal in parenting, is a heart-to-heart connection, just like the Father God is with yours. And so here's what he's saying. He said, okay, I'm going to impress them on your kids. How are we going to do that? Take a look. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you get on the road, when you lie down, when you wake up. So there's like four daily times, okay? When you get up, when you lie down, on the road or at home. Now, you and I are smart enough to look at this and go, wow, he's talking about like all the time, right? Like every day. Like, it's not a once-a-week meeting. It's not something that I just take a look at every once in a while when I need it. No, no, he's talking about every day. He's like, how are they going to know? How are your kids going to know? How's it going to get in your heart? So it begs to ask the question, what biblical spiritual rhythms do you have in place in your life that accomplish fueling your heart to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength? What regular daily rhythms do you have in place to Shema? All right, let's look at a couple. Look at the screen. So here is one, the word. So, okay, you go, oh, my kids aren't morning people. Okay, get it. But maybe it's just a psalm. He says, man, this is the day the Lord has made. Let's be glad in it. Maybe you're driving your kids to school and there's time for prayer, right? At nighttime. I mean, Debbie and I had so much, this rhythm every night. We'd read a story. We'd pray with them. We'd talk about what was on God's heart. We'd ask them what was on their heart. Did anything happen that day that was hard on their heart? And then we'd pray that into them and we'd speak the word of blessing and over them. And then we would play this, when they were little, play this Jesus lullaby cassette. Yes. Google it if you're under 25. We would play this Jesus love because the last thing we wanted them to hear is the rhythm. It's just the beautiful words of Jesus speaking words over their heart. What rhythms do you have in place that allow the word of God and prayer? And I know we have meal times accomplish that. Yes. Awesome. What are those? I'm not here to give you prescriptives. I'm just saying, let's put into practice a Deuteronomy 6 lifestyle. What does that look like? Next one, community. I would say, I mean, there is something about this rhythm. God did it. I mean, 7 days, seventh, you know, Sunday, Sabbath, and it's just rhythmic. There's something about you sacrificing to get up, get your kids ready, and I know that's a big deal, okay? And get here, and then there's something about the rhythm of like hearing the word of God be taught, your kids in their classes, you're serving together. There's something about that rhythm that just impresses that on their hearts. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you. Okay, so here's what this rhythm of community, life groups the same way, getting into somebody's home. It's just normal. You want your kids and your family to think it's normal to go to people's houses. Wow, there's a novelty. Get in their homes, eat their food, hang out with them, pray together, minister together, get in the word together. Oh yeah, there's something about the consistency of that. And discipleship's the same way. The guys I'm running with, man, I love our time together. And man, we dig into the word, and basically what we're doing, Shema'ing together. We're Shema'ing. That's what we're doing. We're hearing and obeying. We're just setting our minds, setting our hearts on listening to Jesus and following what he says and going, how'd that go? Dude, you're awesome. And when we mess it up, we go, we're with you in this. Let's pray for strength and courage, and let's keep going. Man, when somebody's out of town or something, and I miss that rhythm, I'm a little funky. I'm a little wiggly. It's just, there's something in the rhythm of that that makes a difference in my heart and in the way I pursue God, in the way I love my kids, in the way I go and do my job, all those things, right? That's what that is. And this last rhythm, I just throw this out for you to think about. There should be a rhythm in you and in your home. And again, remember, we're talking parenting or discipleship, okay, when you're walking with others. There's something about walking in the light. Like in the Hannes family, man, everything, we talked about everything. You heard something on the bus, you come talk to me. You know, you mess up, we bring it in the light. We just talk about it. No, they're not going to be judgment, condemnation. We're gonna bring it in the light. That's the rhythm. Little things, big things. Forgiveness, same way. Man, we want to be the best forgivers there are. Like we had a thing we did rhythmically, the Hannes family meeting. That's what we did. We aired it out. And we were quick to give forgiveness and receive forgiveness. There's something in the rhythm of that that accomplishes Shema. Like the hearing leads to the obeying, but when I'm obeying, I'm like actually expressing the faith is real. The relationship is real. And I think that's something that's, again, in our understanding that's different. Okay? All right. Next verse, after those rhythms, so there's those rhythms, he says, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames. The Jewish culture, they actually did this. You could look in different ways, literally. But what he's saying here is not only are there rhythms in your life to accomplish this Shema and fuel your heart to love God, there are reminders. Same question. What are the practical reminders in your life that you have built in that fuel your heart to love the Lord your God? So let's look at some of those. Again, Kirk did this last week. The iPhone. Hey, we got technology. Yikes. But there's some good things, right? Last week, Kirk got our iPhones out and we prayed for breakthrough for somebody. If it's on your calendar, guess what? It comes up. I have a practical reminder in mind to thank Jesus every day. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, thank Jesus. Do I have to have that? Like, remember? I don't know. All I know is when it comes on that calendar and it's a reminder, it gets done somehow. Okay? Use your iPhone for that. Practical reminders. Prayer calendar. Mondays, I pray for this person. Tuesdays, I pray for that person. Wednesdays, I pray for this theme or this topic. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be as creative as you want, but what reminders do you have in place in your life, and what reminders are in your kid's life? Because remember, this is just the way of life that they were talking about. And something about walking out the way of life that fuels your heart to continue to love God. Scripture memory and journaling. I mean, scripture memory. Love scripture memory. Discipleship, man, we're after scripture memory and journaling because there's something about that rhythmic reminder of always putting God's word in your heart. It's living and active, and it will accomplish what God wants if your heart's in that place of like, I want to know, right? Your kids are sponges. When they're little, they remember all kind of stuff. Some things you say that you wish they wouldn't remember. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, they will remember. Okay, so use scripture memory to be that reminder. Journaling is awesome. It's just the footsteps of my journey with Jesus. It's basically my Shema journal. It's basically like, what were the things that God spoke to me and I wrote them down? I want to know what he's saying and I want to know his heart. And then I want to write down the things I'm obeying. And then I can look back in that thing. I can see those footsteps and I go, oh man, what a reminder. Look how God spoke in that time. Look at that. Look at the faithfulness of Jesus at that moment. Worship music. Parents, when you wake up, when your kids wake up, is there worship music going on in your house, in your car? What is worship music? It's scripture sung out. There's something about music that gets into us in a deeper way. Like this morning, that was awesome, Brian. There's something about that again, rhythmically reminding me, singing those choruses again, like Chris said, like that just deepened that heart of loving the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And I'll just add one thing with that, with Right Now Media, the Christian Netflix thing that we give to you guys for free. I was looking on there the other day. They have so many incredibly colorful, creative, practical 5-minute videos for your kids. And parents, I know you're watching Screen Time. Thank you for that. Need to. But man, here's another way to allow the Word of God to get into them, to be impressed in them. And lastly is community again. That's why in Life Group, I love God's stories. I love God's stories because people are talking about sharing about what did God do in their heart? Not just what happened to them, but like what did God do or say to include them, to be a part of them, that now I go, oh man, it's a reminder. Look at the mercy of God in that situation. Look at the power of God in that story. Like it just reminds me, it gives me like hope for like, I want a story like that. Right? It's that reminder of the consistency of it. And when we don't have that, and when our kids don't have that, there's implications. We begin to drift. So this last thing I want to give you, all right? Because then we're going to do the crazy thing I was talking about earlier. The last thing I want to give you is this. Our team prayed about a way that you could use an easy way to remember a grid for interacting with your kids or people you're discipling in a way that keeps God's heart on your heart for the sake of your kids. Okay, so put those three E's. There are three E's, so they're easy to remember, okay? And they represent the triune nature of God. So when you have an interaction with your kid, whenever that may be, morning, night, throughout the day, whatever, if this grid pops up, you're looking good. Let me tell you why. This is God. If the first thing on your mind when you interact with your kids is, how can I encourage my kid's heart right now? Dude, you're in great shape. How can I affirm my love for my child? How can I affirm God's love for my child? How can I affirm their identity? Like, start with that, lead with that. I'll just say this, in my personal time with the Lord, that's what he does for me. That's the very first thing he does. I open the word, I go, God, how do you want to speak to my heart right now? And he always says something about who I am and how much he loves me. And it's like, oh, and what does that do? It warms and opens their heart. So now the word can come in. Amen? The word can come in. So I encourage, that's the Father's heart. The second is exchange. This is Jesus. The cross was all about exchange. Our sin for his righteousness. So I'm thinking as a parent or a disciple maker, I know what the love of God and the word of God wants to get in their heart, but could there be something in the way? So my role here is to ask some questions. And this is true in your own time with the Lord, or for the sake of others. What are some questions? Let me just give you a couple examples. These are basic, so there's plenty more. What's been hard in the last few days? Just ask your kids that. Again, little big, what's been hard? You're gonna hear the struggle You're going to know what's on them, and then you're going to know how to exchange the bad for the good. Or if they did something, and then they're like feeling bad about it, or they're not sure how to overcome that, here's another great phrase. Help me understand. You lead with that phrase, you're going to have dialogue. Help me understand. What was going on inside of you when that was happening? If you lead with that, you're going to know what things are blocking, hindering the flow of the love of God or your love or the truth of what God wants to say to them, and you can exchange the lie for the truth. And then the last one is, if you're just having a conversation about whatever and they say something, you're like, oh, wow, that sounded like they were kind of almost condemning themselves or said something about God that seemed off. Tell me more about that. See, your questions open the door for conversation, which allow you to know how to help them exchange and step in a spiritual way. That's how you keep their hearts swept clean. And that's how you keep them free to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Tell me more about that. What seems hard to you? And help me understand. And lastly is empower. This is the role of the Holy Spirit, okay? Whenever the interactions have happened, and they can be small, big, long, short, doesn't matter. You interact with your kids, and then now you're thinking, okay, how can I empower them to take what God just said or what we just did together and actually start obeying that or following that or walking in it? I love this. This is one of my favorite. My whole goal in this, and again, when they're little, parents, like it might be a discipline thing, your role is to restore your kids. Like the whole goal is that we're on the same side. Like they got to know, they got to hear you like look at them go, I get you. I get you. And I'm for you. Like they need to know, like you're going to the mat. You'll do whatever it takes. You're saying, I'm with you. We're on the same side. And then you get to speak things like, man, I really see this in you. Call it out in them. Like speak it up. Like, man, you are so awesome at this. And man, the Lord's doing this in your life. And it is so encouraging to me. When you do that, it empowers them. And again, as they get older in the preteen and teen, you're going to see this really take shape for themselves. But it starts when they're younger. Encourage their heart like a good daddy. Exchange things that shouldn't be there and keep their heart strong and clean and clear like Jesus did, and empower them through the work of the Holy Spirit.